We're going to be in John 14 this evening. If you'd like to turn there. Now in John 14, we're going to spend some time tonight in the upper room with Jesus Christ and his disciples. We're going to listen to a part of the discourse that Jesus gave his followers in that upper room the day before he was crucified. And this discourse is a rather lengthy discourse, and it's most largely presented to us in the book of John. And we're going to enter into a part of it here as we look at these first few verses of the 14th chapter, as the Lord Jesus Christ encourages his disciples, for at this time, his disciples are a depressed group of men. He begins this encouragement in the first verse. So we're going to read through the 11th verse. Most likely we won't cover that much tonight, but we'll go as far as we can on the right road. And you know the rest of that. We won't go any distance at all on the wrong road, Lord willing. He begins this discourse to his disciples by saying, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Talk about encouraging words. Those are encouraging words, are they not? And he continues with verse 4, "And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." Father, we do pray your blessings upon this message tonight. Lord, how we want to please you. How we want to preach and teach the Word of God, for that is definitely what we need, Father, in this life. So do bless. In Jesus' name, amen. Now at this point in time, the Passover meal and the First Communion service is over. Remember, we're in the upper room and all these things have taken place. Jesus Christ has washed the disciples' feet. And he has just told them that he is about to leave them and they cannot come with him. Now, for these past 3 years, they have been with him on a daily basis. But here at this point, he is saying, I'm going to prepare a place for you and you cannot come. Jesus Christ knows that his death is near and he's going home to be with the Father. He's told Peter and the disciples that Peter would deny him 3 times before the cock crowed, in spite of Peter's great affirmations about his loyalty. You know, talk is cheap, but actions speak louder than words. And Peter was quick to speak words, but his actions belied his words. Now, John, the disciple that Jesus loved, knew that Judas was to betray Christ, and perhaps this news was told in whispers around the table. Now you can imagine that the humanity of the disciples was being displayed, and Jesus Christ takes this opportunity to address the troubled spirits of his disciples. This was a terrible time in their life. As they contemplated the words of Christ, they contemplated those words as dark words that fell upon their fleshly minds. Oh, they were dark words. Now, there's a lesson here for all of us in times of trouble. And the lesson is expressed in the Word of God in Psalm 37:39, where we're told, "But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble." That was the lesson here. God is our strength in times of trouble. You know how often that we neglect this simple truth when we face trouble. Where do you turn when trouble is at the door? Do you panic and do you go off in the wrong direction, or do you seek the face of God? Well, the scriptures tell us that our strength is God in the time of trouble. And Jesus Christ in this passage makes it very clear where his own are to turn when trouble knocks at the door. He instructs them to turn to God and to him. For he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Now see how clearly Jesus Christ places himself in the same place of comfort as he places his Father. Equal with his Father. "Ye believe in God, believe also in me." You know, how often have these words brought comfort to the disciples of Christ in every age as troubles mount in every life? Jesus uses in this phrase, he begins this phrase with the word "let." Now that word "let" means don't permit your heart to be troubled. Can you believe that? Don't permit your heart to be troubled. You know, it's a matter of the will then, isn't it? To let your heart be troubled is a matter of the will. For Jesus Christ says very clearly to not permit your heart to be troubled. He's saying, disciples, be in charge of your heart. Disciples, don't permit your heart to be agitated. Don't allow your will to yield yourself to trouble. You know, you can yield yourself to trouble. You can permit your heart to be troubled. You know, they used to call that a pity party. You'd have pity on yourself. You'd sit around and say, "Oh, woe is me. I'm in trouble. This is a difficult time of my life," when you ought to be turning to God and trusting in the Lord. Jesus Christ says, "I ask you to believe and trust in God and do the same in me." You will only be able to conquer a troubled heart by only believing and trusting in me, Jesus is saying. Conquer your troubled heart by believing in me. And without that trust, the result is your heart will be troubled. So he wants them to focus on Jesus Christ. He wants them to focus on him. He wants them to focus on the acts that he's done, the healing that he's done, the calming of the storm, the raising of the dead, all those things that have been done in the past. If those have been done in the past for others, can't they be done for you? And he promises that he'll do nothing but that which benefits you. You may lean to your own understanding, but that is an understanding of your own heart's making. You know, if you lean to your own understanding, pretty soon you'll feel troubled. But if you let the Lord be your post, your leaning post, then you'll not be in trouble. So let God be your strength in the time of trouble. And he says, meditate upon this thought. And then he brings in the fact of what's happening while he's away. Where is he going? What's he going to do? And this is something that we ought to, as Christians and the disciples, ought to remember. What is happening in the future? Where is my future leading me? For he says in verse 2, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." Now, what comfort he introduces at this point. He points the disciples to their ultimate home. You know, if you think about your ultimate home, the things of this earth kind of grow dim. You know, the troubles of this earth kind of grow dim when you think about your ultimate home. And he points them to his Father's house. He points them to their home, which he will prepare for them. By saying this, he's saying, get your mind on where you are going and not on your perceived troubles. You know, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Where are you headed? Well, I'm going to my Father's house. Well, don't you have a lot of troubles? Yeah, but I'm going to my Father's house. Isn't that wonderful to think about you're going to your Father's house? You know, that's what faith brings about in life. Thinking about what the Lord Jesus Christ has prepared for you, that's what faith is all about. If you trust in God and in me, he says, your troubles will grow strangely dim because you now see my Father's house and the place in my Father's house that is prepared for you. You know, the Bible says we're to lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh your help. Same message here. Lift your eyes up to God. See where God is working for you, preparing a place for you, and all of these troubles will grow strangely dim. So the Lord Jesus Christ wants them to think about the place of abode that he's preparing for them. And he says, there are many places in my Father's house. There are many rooms or abiding places, and I now go there to prepare a place personally for each one of you. You know, if I walked into your houses tonight and I saw the kind of house that you have and the decorations that you have and how things are ordered and how things are placed, each one of you would have a specific, particular way about your house. And it's suited to your own personality. It's suited to your own ways. And, you know, this is what's happening here. The Lord is going to make a place that's just suited to you. It's going to be just exactly what you need as he goes to a place to prepare for you. Now, this place is not a pilgrim's place. It's not a temporary place that withers and decays, but it is an abiding place. You know, you won't have to redecorate every 5 years. You ladies that like to move the furniture, I don't think you'll be moving the furniture because they'll be perfectly placed. Everything will be in the right place and it won't have to be moved. And you know, you maintenance fellas, there won't be any leaky pipes. There won't be any peeling paint. No, you won't have to go down to the paint store and get gallons of paint, and mama won't say you have to change the colors. Everything will be perfectly suited to you, for it's a permanent abiding place prepared by Jesus Christ himself. My, what a promise that is. That's encouraging. And then he says this, if it were not so, I would have told you. Believe what I say, he's saying here. If there was something else, I would have told you something else. But this is the truth. I want you to be heavenly minded because I tell you the truth about my Father's house. You know, we ought to be heavenly minded. That old saying that says you're too heavenly minded to be... You're no earthly good. I don't think I've ever met a person that's been too heavenly minded, you know? Never met that person. But I think the Lord wants us to be heavenly minded. He wants us to think about those mansions in heaven. I want you to have these hopes because what I say is truth, he says. I came to bear witness unto the truth. And then in verse 3 and 4, he says this, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. So disciples, he's saying, I'm going to prepare a place. And I don't expect you to come to that place alone, for you cannot find that place alone. Anybody have a map to heaven? If you take this road, if you go past the moon and turn left and go past Mars and then past Jupiter and go toward the sun, do you think you can get to heaven? Is there such a map? Does NASA know the way? But he's basically saying, I'll not send for you. I'll not send a messenger to come get you. I'll come for you and take you to my Father's house. Boy, that's personal. I will conduct you there. I'm the only conductor that there is. I'm the only one that'll do that. I'll not send another, but I'll receive you unto myself, and I won't leave you to your own devices. You know, we're told in Scripture that the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel, and then the trump of God and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And who are we going to meet? Are we going to meet a representative? Are we going to meet an angel? No, we're going to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. He's personally coming to make sure that we get to those houses that he's making in heaven. So he's going to receive his own to himself. And he says this, that where I am, there may ye be also. You know, the Lord never leaves us. Someday we may pass away. Someday we may pass through that door. But on the other side of that door is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then some of us may survive till the rapture. And on the other side of that day, we'll meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord in the Father's house. This is the great physician's cure for heart trouble. You know, if you have heart trouble, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will cure that kind of heart trouble. Assurance that the Father's house will be our ultimate home will be a cure for that heart trouble. And that this home will fit your every need is a cure for that heart trouble. And then that he will personally come and take us there himself and will be with him forever in the place that he prepares. So don't permit your heart to be troubled, he tells his disciples. And that instruction goes down through the centuries to all of us who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, there's a scripture that says this, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You know, a person that has heart trouble is not in perfect peace. But if you keep your mind stayed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you stay in the Word, you trust in God, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll have peace. You'll have perfect peace. And Jesus Christ continues in this passage, and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. He says, I just told you where I am going. I am going to my Father's house. Whither I go, he says, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. So there's going to be a time of a period where the Lord Jesus Christ is away from the disciples. He's going to the Father's house, and he's going to prepare for their coming. And he says to his disciples, I know you're troubled by all things going on at this time, but concentrate on what I am to do for you in my Father's house. Get your mind on me as I prepare a place for you. Arrangements must be made by me, and when all is ready, I will come again myself and receive you so that we can be together. I've plainly told you where I'm going and the way in which you are to come to where I'm going. Now, Thomas piped in. Thomas was confused. Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? You know, Jesus Christ was talking in a spiritual way, and Thomas was thinking about this earth. My, how we do that. The Lord Jesus Christ thinks about eternity, and we think about temporal things, don't we? But Thomas says, I don't know where you're going, and I don't know how to get there. So the Thomas is still not getting the message from his master. But you know, you got to give Thomas some credit because he didn't hide his ignorance like many of us do. If we don't know something, We don't even ask because we don't want to be thought ignorant. But Thomas didn't think that way. He wasn't afraid that others might think of him as empty-headed, while themselves they were also ignorant. Teachers like to get questions in class. You students, don't be afraid to ask a question. You know, most of the students in the class wanted to ask that question also, but they didn't want to appear empty-headed. So we ought to be thankful for Thomas's question. He didn't understand the heavenly messages that the Lord was talking about. He was bound by his own personality. He was bound by his culture. He was bound by his lack of faith. He didn't have the Holy Spirit to teach him all things at that time. And, you know, we've heard these words of Christ many times, haven't we? But, you know, these words of Christ were heard for the first time in the upper room. They were coming to the ears of these disciples for the very first time. And Thomas was confused. Was this mansion some grand house near Jerusalem? He brought it down to earth. And then he said, well, what road am I going to take to get there? Is this in Galilee? Is this over by the Sea of Galilee? Is this up in the mountains? Where is this mansion? What road would I take to get there? He thought in terms of him figuring out the way to the mansion, and he thought of the mansion being on earth. So what does this all mean? So he asked the question. You know, Thomas's question gave opportunity to the Lord Jesus Christ to expound more on this subject to his disciples, for his disciples' benefit and for our benefit. So we ought to thank Thomas for asking the question. And Jesus Christ responds in verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. That's simple. I'm the way. I'm the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, my sister lives in Montgomery, Alabama. She moved down to Montgomery from Chicago about 10 to 15 years ago. And the first time I went there, she provided me with some detailed instructions to how to get to her house. Now, I could give you those very same instructions, and if you followed them carefully, you would get to her house also. But getting to her house is accomplished by your believing my instructions and religiously following them. And really, when you boil that down, it's a religious exercise to get there. You religiously follow the instructions to get to my sister's house. It is the believing and practicing of my word in order to arrive at the goal of getting to her house. And it is done by works. Now, just follow the directions that I've given to you, and you will arrive at my sister's house. But you know, getting to the Father's house is not like that. You cannot get there by your own efforts. The way to the Father's house is not a set of instructions. It is not a religion based upon your works. The way to the Father's house is not accomplished by your abilities. It's not accomplished by your wit. It's not accomplished by your intellect in following instructions. You can't get to the Father's house that way. The way to the Father's house is only through a person. Now, if I had a person to take me to my sister's house, I wouldn't need instructions to my sister's house. I just sit back and let the person take me to my sister's house. I just put myself in that person's hands, and pretty soon I'll arrive at her house. Now, that is what Jesus Christ is communicating to Thomas and the other disciples. He says, sit back and trust in me, depend upon me, let not your heart be troubled about such things, just depend upon me. No man knows how to get to the Father, because the Father only reveals himself through his Son. Jesus Christ, then, is the way to the Father, and he's the only way to the Father, there being no other way. That's simple, isn't it? Nothing complicated about that. You can't find instructions on how to get to the Father's house, so the simple thing is to, by faith, cease from your efforts and admit that you are lost, for there is no earthly map to the Father. So the words to Thomas are to simply put your problem in the hands of the one who is the way to the Father, and Jesus Christ does not stop there. He also says, I am the truth. I am the truth of this way. Now notice that he does not say he speaks the truth. Notice that he did not say that he tells the truth. Notice that he did not say that he teaches the truth. He simply said, I am the truth. Jesus Christ is truth. This means that anything in this world, any dogma, any religion, any philosophy, every scientific, political, or social theory that does not match up to Jesus Christ will ultimately prove itself false. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the standard that all must be measured against. Jesus Christ is the standard. You know, man loves to invent what he calls truth, but whatever comes from the mind of man apart from Jesus Christ is a false and dark way. Man lives in darkness because he does not know truth himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we go into court and we're supposed to say, do you promise, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? That's a tough thing to do, isn't it? You think you're capable of doing that? I don't think so. All of our witnessing is got something behind it, some motive that's not true and not perfect. But you can only know truth by knowing Jesus Christ. You can't discover it in a test tube. You can't discover it by social research. But Jesus Christ then is the standard by against whom all must be measured. Jesus Christ is not only the way to the Father, Jesus Christ is not only the truth of the Father, but he is also the life of the Father, for he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we're told in Scripture, by him all things consist. By him do all things have life. Without Jesus Christ, nothing has life. Christ is the life of this way. Christ is the animating, the motivating power by which we come to the Father, because he is life. Because life is imparted to us, he is still the way to the Father. Without life imparted to us, he is still the truth of the Father. But without life imparted to us, we would not be able to go to the Father. It's nice to have the way, it's nice to have the truth, but if you don't have life, they have no benefit to us. So he tells us that he is life. He is the motivating power by which we are to come to the Father. And without life, without Christ, we're dead and unable to know the way. We are unable to know the truth. So by Christ alone, we know the way, we know truth, and we are given life to go to the Father. That is why he can say with the authority of the Father that no man cometh to the Father but by me. You cannot get to the Father except by the way. You cannot get to the Father except by the truth. And you cannot get to the Father unless you have life. You know, the Bible says that all are dead in sin. Well, they can't get to the Father. Why? Because there's no life in them to get to the Father. You know, religions of the world pretend to know the way. Religions of the world offer detailed directions. Religions of the world offer sets of instructions to the Father. They say, follow these roads, follow these steps, and you will get to the Father. Do these works, and you'll get to the Father. Be good, and you'll get to the Father. Give your body to be burned, and you'll get to the Father. Nowadays, the call of many Muslim groups is to blow up your body in the midst of infidels, and then you'll get to the Father. So that's just another religion that tells us how to get to the Father. But Jesus Christ says, no, all those things are wrong, all those things are false, for they do not admit the fact that Jesus Christ is the way. All of these directions to the Father are apart from him, and they are false, because the Father only reveals himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. He does not reveal the way to him apart from Jesus Christ. And you know, as believers, we can stand on that. We can stand fully upon that, and we can say that dogmatically that Jesus Christ is the only way. There is no other way. All other ways are false, regardless of how much they appeal to man, how much they appeal to the flesh, how much they appeal to the mind. All of those are false because they all disregard the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Well, we'll stop there.